Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, your only choice for local sports talk in the morning. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio, this is Chuck and Winkler.
Ew.
Winner of three Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurants and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Tim Allen over there, host of your baseball post-game show.
Our buddy Baby Taos just texted me a little bit ago, said I sounded tired. Is that true?
Wow, really?
Yeah. Probably, though.
What did he say verbatim?
I can't repeat that, but yeah, the essence was you sound blank tired.
Oh. Are you tired?
Well, of course. You get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I don't. I get up at... Yeah,
exactly.
When I get up today. Well, actually, I woke up at 12:30. I had a bad dream.
Okay.
Sometimes when I have bad dreams...
Sports, bad dream, or...
No.
Okay.
No, sometimes when I have a bad dream, I scream myself awake. I don't know if...
Really?
Yeah.
Did you seek counseling at any time?
No. I mean, it has happened more frequently, if you must know.
Okay.
But then my wife can tell her friends that I'm a screamer in bed.
Oh, boy. Yep.
No.
What is that?
That's Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Mike Clemens. That was him making fun of our show, by the way, is what I pulled that from.
That's sad that someone would do that.
Exactly. It's even sadder when someone comes and hosts and renames the show, Tim.
Well,
that's Kawhi Leonard. So tonight, we're going to talk to Michael Cohen about 8:20. A little bit of a decision to make tonight, and I don't think it is a decision. You've got your two games. And who did I talk to about this? I think I was talking to Gary about this. When the Packers were struggling, as they are, and the Brewers were really getting to the point where you almost had to choose... I was like, oh, Gary, I love this. I put out a tweet. Oh, that's what it was. I put out a tweet, and I said, I put two poop emojis, and then I quote tweeted myself, and I said, this is how much I care. This is how much I give about the Packers tomorrow. Okay? Two poops, if you get it.
Yes.
And then Gary was, he actually called me. Ellerson will go on these stretches where I don't talk to him for like 7 months, and then he'll call me every day, three times a day for a week.
He's a good dude.
And then I don't hear from him again until the leaves fall. So he said, why we got to do this? Why we got to pit our sports teams against each other? Why do we have to make
man,
it choose?
Why you got to do this, man?
Brewers or Packers? And I said, because I like when the Packers have to play second fiddle.
I kind of do too.
I like when the Brewers are, I like when Aaron Rodgers is getting interviewed with all the problems that they have, and the first thing out of a reporter's mouth is, hey, are you guys watching the Brewers? I like that.
Yeah, that we're going to follow both. We know that, right? I mean, it's not like the Packers disappeared. They're still there, and they should win this football game tonight.
They should.
They should. But far more stakes on this Brewers-Dodgers game tonight.
And what's also happened over the last few weeks, I mean, the Packers, these aren't exactly marquee matchups. Like, you played Detroit.
Buffalo.
You got the Niners at home tonight, and they lost their quarterback, and I think they're without their top running back, and their top receiver
maybe,
might not play.
Maybe two of their top running backs, when you think about it.
Yeah, so, yeah, with McKinnon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's kind of why. If you're in the predicament where you have season tickets for the Packers, I mean, I'm on a waiting list where I'm still 43,000 people away
you're getting
for the
there.
Right to pay the Packers money.
You're getting there.
Okay? And if you have tickets, there's a lot of people that I know are going that are going only because they can't sell the tickets.
More Brewers fan wear at Lambeau Field or Packers gear?
Probably blaze orange.
I would say Packers only because it's going to be cold tonight, and so that the heavier garment would be what they've used for the last several winters.
Just opening up the SeatGeek app here. I mean, you can end zone seats, $98.
Nice.
I mean, people are trying to give these things away. And I'm sure you'll have somebody at work today. Hey, Tony, come here a second. You're getting pulled into your boss's office, and this is like, oh, man, my boss is pulling me in this office. It's going to be good or bad. Hey, got the company seats for tickets tonight. You want to go? Now you got to tell your, you know, do you tell your boss yes because you want to be in favor? Or do you tell him, no, I'm going to the I want to watch the Brewer game?
Honestly, I can't remember where we were at with regards to Packers football in 2011, the last time the Brewers were in the CS. I can't recall.
Well, Packers were, I believe, undefeated at that time. They were coming off their Super Bowl win, and they were undefeated at that time. So they were like 5-0, 6-0.
Was that when they lost to Denver on a night game?
They lost to the 15-1 year they lost to the Chiefs on the road. Because okay. I was doing a party with Amon Green that day in Fond du Lac.
Okay.
And I think they were like 11 or 12-0, and then they lost to the Chiefs. And then that was the one loss they had until the playoffs. But at that point, you knew you could say, I can focus my attention on the Brewers.
Yes.
Because the Packers will win tonight. And that's kind of what we're thinking tonight. I mean, they're a 9.5-point favorite, at least of Friday, at least when I bet Chuck 100 on it. I think that might have gone up. But this time, like the Packers, and we'll talk to Michael Cohen at 8:20. If you're looking for Adam McKelvey, we'll talk to him at 9 from L.A. But the Packers are doing like everything they can to, hey, let's throw it all our hits. Let's see. Coach and quarterback hate each other again. Do you guys like that one? Would that get your attention? We got a running back we don't use. I know you like that with Eddie Lacy. We're trying that one again. Let's see. Can we use the script where our defense is not living up to expectations? We got to try something new. Okay. Mason, go miss 5 kicks against Detroit. We've got to get the attention back.
They take the back seat tonight. I think it's clear. I think there isn't even a debate about it. You couldn't. Would it be different? What if it were the Bears at Lambeau? Would that be different?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit. I mean, it's not like the Patriots are playing the Chiefs here on Sunday Night Football. Huge game last night, and you've got Boston and the Astros.
The Vikings? What if the Vikings were at Lambeau tonight?
Yeah, there'd be definitely more juice if it was the Patriots here, if it was the Chiefs.
Stakes are high here tonight in L.A., far superior than Packers. It's okay. It doesn't mean you hate the Packers that they have to take a backseat.
No, but why do I like that they are?
I enjoy it too.
But why?
I don't know. Just because we've been the little brother, even in the very state we live in, it's been the little brother.
But when people ask me and they say, Bart, all three teams, pick one. I revert back to, well, I'm named after Bart Starr. I'm a Packer owner. Mm-hmm. I got married in Lambeau. I mean, all the signs point to...
You're going to be focused on the Packers.
The Packers being my in the pecking order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But even if that's true, even if the Packers are my number one that I would save off a cliff if all three franchises were falling, why do I like that the Brewers have overtaken them? Why do I like that Bars and Ashland are going crazy for the Brewers?
Yes. It's awesome.
Why do I like that people in Wausau are going to try to get out of work early on Wednesday to go see Milwaukee play game 5?
Yeah.
And not care about whatever Rodgers has to, oh, they'll be on a bye.
We didn't even mention over the weekend that the not only the Brewers lost, but the Badgers lost that same night.
But yeah, Badgers lost, and that was another game nobody seemed to care about. I saw someone tweet, and I felt the same way. He says, I'm watching this game. I'm taking it in, but I can't be disappointed at this point. I'm so disappointed about the Brewer game that whatever happens in this Badger game is not going to get my attention. And the Badger's like, okay, you want to believe that? We're going to lose by 30. Hornibrook's going to have his worst game ever.
Yeah, that was tough. I got off the air about, I don't know, halftime-ish of that Badgers game. So we weren't even following. I would hear the sports flash or whatever, and I kind of knew what they were doing. Outside of that, it was sort of a buzzkill sports day on Saturday for sure.
You know who else had a bad weekend? Cody, let's bring in Cody Grant, our producer. Cody Grant.
Hi, Cody.
Good morning, guys.
As we talk about all of our teams that lost over the weekend, why don't we talk about yours?
Sure, we can talk about my teams. That's fine.
The Chicago Bears blow a lead to the Dolphins.
Hmm.
They go to overtime.
Huh.
The Dolphins are driving. Kenyon Drake, at the goal line,
tries to give him the ball back.
Fumbles the football.
Or give him the game back, really.
The Bears drive down, miss a field goal, and then the Dolphins went on a game-winning field goal at the last second. How you doing with that one?
Awful. I mean, that's a game that the Dolphins handed to the Bears time and time again. And the fact that it was Brock Osweiler to do it.
Brock Osweiler.
Like, all week, it's like, can Ryan Tannehill, you know, do enough against the Bears' defense? And it turned out to be the Bears' defense worst game to Brock Osweiler, who threw for 380 and three touchdowns.
That is more proof, guys, why in the NFL we can't be so quick to say, as Bill Parcells put it, the anointing oil. We can't bust that stuff out in the NFL. The Bears, were they overachieving in the first quarter of the season, Cody?
I don't know, because I think that defense. No. Let me explain.
I think they're good.
I think that defense is so good. And look who they beat. They beat Tampa Bay. Okay, that's a crap team. They lost to the Packers. I still think the Packers are the better team. They're going to win the division. But it's not like they had huge wins against teams. They barely beat Arizona. I don't think they overachieved. They beat some bad teams.
All right. People were asking me this question: if the Packers win tonight, would they be in first place? Because the Bears are 3-2, and the Packers are 2-2-1. So the Packers would be 3-2-1.
Yeah.
But no, the Bears would stay in first place because their winning percentage is .600. They have won 3 out of their 5 games. The Vikings are where the Packers could be with a win tonight, 3-2-1, which means they've won, and they count ties as half. They've won 3.5 of their 6 games, so their winning percentage is .583. So if the Packers win tonight, they'll be tied with the Vikings, like virtually tied, because of the tie.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bears will still be in first place no matter what the Packers do tonight. So that answers that question.
The Bears are not that good.
I didn't say they were. I mean, I picked them to go 8-8, but like I said, the teams they beat so far this season, Seattle, without Doug Baldwin, they came in banged up. They beat the Cardinals barely by 2, destroyed the Buccaneers, who are the worst pass defense in the NFL, and then got beat by the Dolphins. I mean, I don't think they're that good of a team, but
okay.
I'm not surprised that they have 3 wins right now.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll talk about the Packers a little more with how they get that victory tonight. Michael Cohen will join us coming up. And again, Adam McKelvey, our baseball insider, at 9 o'clock. I mentioned earlier that it snowed overnight. I guess we had one guy that said, was that Ken that said he saw flurries at 3 a.m.? Mike? Yeah, Brewer Mike said he saw flurries at 3 a.m. this morning. I know I walked outside. It looked like there was some precipitation, but that's soon it's going to be for sure. Yes, it snowed last night. Yes, it's 26 degrees. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's below freezing. Colder weather is here in Wisconsin, so now's the time to check out Sound Decisions if you've been contemplating that remote car starter. You don't have to freeze on your way to work. You don't have to freeze on your way home. Get a remote car starter and warm up your vehicle. Sound Decisions has been doing audio systems since 1972, and now they actually sell more remote car starters than anybody else. They offer the leading brands, competitive pricing, and a quick installation while you relax in their comfortable waiting area. During October, you can get $25 off a remote car starter when you bring in a gently used or new coat. You'll get $25 off a one-way remote car starter. You get $50 off the two-way remote car starters, and you're donating your coat to a child in need. So they'll stay warm, and you'll be warm in your vehicle. It's the Drive for Coats promotion at Sound Decisions. Call them today, 262-633-8300. Get yourself started on the remote car starter system for your car. For details, check out their Facebook page or head to brightpinkmailbox.com. It's their website. The Sound Decisions website is brightpinkmailbox.com. There's a story behind that. Chris will tell you, actually, I can give you just a sliver of it. They wouldn't let him make the sign they wanted. And so, because they had a big sign, and then the town was like, no, sign's too big. Well, they're like, well, we got to find out how people know we're here. So they just put the biggest pink mailbox they could.
Okay.
And that's how people identified them. Brightpinkmailbox.com. Chris will tell you more. For a peace of mind and a warm and toasty car this winter, it's a remote car starter from Sound Decision.
Let's go get it! The guys on the inside. Green Bay football insider Michael Cohen on The Fan is brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Marola.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Big night tonight.
Man.
Brewers-Dodgers game 3. You've got a Packer game Monday Night Football. I don't know if you want to call it a must win, but how about a can't lose? I like to throw that around. Tim Allen in for Chuck, who is on his way to Los Angeles. I'm Bart Winkler. We're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by Michael Cohen to talk about the aforementioned Packer game. Michael, we'll start with the injuries here. 8 guys listed as questionable on the injury report. Rodgers looks like he's a full go, which isn't a surprise. But of these injuries, the offensive line, maybe Geronimo Allison, are there guys on that report that are questionable that we can point to they are more likely than not playing tonight?
I actually don't have the list in front of me. Can you read off some of the names? And I can.
We've got Alexander on the injury report.
Okay, I would expect that he's probably going to be available this week.
We've got Geronimo.
That's a questionable one. Him and Cobb, I know Cobb's another one on there. You can make an argument that having them sit out tonight against a weaker 49ers team would be more beneficial for them with the bye coming up, but I'm not really sure. That's going to be a wait and see.
We've got Breshad Breeland, who we talked about a lot on Friday.
Yeah, I think I saw him in practice last week a couple times. He seemed to be moving well and moving fine, so I would think that this is an opportunity for him to make his debut.
Jermaine Whitehead?
That one, I think he'll probably be out there as well. He seemed to be, you know, pretty loose in practice, and when you have a back injury, generally you can kind of tell right away with how a guy is moving whether or not it's bothering him, and I didn't get the sense it was too big of an issue in practice.
And then I'll ask you about the tackles, because Jason Spriggs on there, and so is Brian Bulaga. Do we expect either of those guys to play? And then tell us what you can about Byron Bell, because based on what McCarthy was saying over the weekend, it seems like he might be your starter now on that offensive line too.
Yeah, so I think Bulaga came out and said on Saturday during what would have, you know, equated to their Friday, you know, session during a normal week, that he feels like the knee issue wasn't anything significant and should be fine for this week. And I think McCarthy sort of reiterated that as well. So I do think Brian Bulaga starts the game. I'm not sure about Jason Spriggs. That was a weird one. It happened as the media was walking out of practice, and nobody really saw it except I think one TV reporter happened to look back at the moment that it happened and saw Spriggs kind of like on the ground and the training staff looking at him while he was on all fours. So that sort of seemed like a fluky, weird thing, and I would guess that maybe they would hold him out. And then when it comes to Byron Bell, you know, it certainly appears, as you mentioned, that he's sort of supplanted Justin McCray in the starting lineup. And I think ultimately they're just looking for somebody that has a little bit more consistency there. You know, I think McCray is definitely a mauler in the run game at times and, you know, can be a really physical and aggressive player. He is more physical and more aggressive than Byron Bell. But I just think that with a guy who has played as much football as Bell has, you know, he's got something like 76 or 77 career starts. And Justin McCray has, you know, what, maybe a dozen, maybe 15 at most. And so I think that, you know, when you just have more experience there, it does make a difference to coaches. And so even though Bell is not as violent or as, you know, dominant at times that as McCray is, I think overall, if you give each guy 100 snaps, there's more consistency and more steadiness to what Bell brings. And so I think that's what the coaches are looking for.
Michael, Tim here. Other side of the football, Matt Breida for the Niners. I know there was some question whether or not he's going to play. What kind of element does he bring to the team? I know Morris is back there, so he'll probably get a heavy workload, but that change of pace guy, guy that produces when he's healthy. What does that mean for the Packers defense if indeed Breida plays and is healthy?
Well, if Breida can play, he is the type of guy that is capable of being a potential home run threat. You know, if you look at, if you watch their last game, you know, over the weekend, the game that they, you know, turned the ball over five times and just completely, you know, made a mess of what was going on, as Kyle Shanahan said in the conference call earlier this week, you know, it was Breida that early on, before he got hurt, was really starting to get going, ripping off yards and chunks of 5 and 8 and 9 and 11. And so he's an explosive guy. He hits the hole with the kind of speed that Aaron Jones hits the hole. Now, I'm not comparing those two players in terms of overall ability. I'm just saying that if you were trying to compare him to a Packers running back, he compares most closely with Jones just because of the way he hits the line of scrimmage at what seems like 1,000 miles an hour. Alfred Morris is more of a Jamal Williams type of guy. He can pound between the tackles. He might break off one of a bigger run, maybe for like a dozen or 14, but he's not going to break one for 70 because he just doesn't have that speed. So if they have Breida, it adds a significantly different weapon to their offense, and it also adds some change of pace elements. You know, if you have Jamal Williams running at you 40 times a game, or you have Jamal Williams running at you a few times a game and Aaron Jones running a few times a game, it's a totally different dynamic. So if the Packers have, if the 49ers have Breida, then they can sort of add that element to their own offense.
I think I have the most updated stat on this as we talk with Michael Cohen, our Green and Gold Insider, Packers tonight. We'll have the Green and Gold postgame show for you after that one as well. They've been outscored 13-42 in the first quarter this season. This is a team that has weapons, the Packers do, but they're getting off to some slow starts. Are there signs, or is there anything the Packers can do to rectify that? I would think that, you know, not waiting for the third series to bring in Aaron Jones would be one of those things, but what have the Packers been working on maybe that you've seen, or what should they do to not start so slowly tonight?
Well, I definitely think introducing Aaron Jones earlier in the game could be a way of accomplishing that. If he comes in on the first series and plays the way that Aaron Jones typically plays, you know, ripping off first down runs and moving to chains and all that stuff, it's hard to it's hard to not envision the offense clicking better in that situation. So I think that when you look at what they can try and do aside from that, you know, maybe try and create some more rhythm throws for Rodgers, maybe script some shorter, quicker passes to get the ball out of his hands quickly and move the chains, maybe focus on saving some of the deeper shots, the play actions, the bootlegs, save that kind of stuff maybe for later in the quarter or into the second quarter. But, you know, it's hard to say. You know, McCarthy is going to do what McCarthy does in terms of calling plays, but then how much Aaron Rodgers changes it at the line of scrimmage, or what he decides to deviate from the plan, you know, those are all things that we never really know the answer to, because, of course, Rodgers has the full playbook at his disposal up at the line of scrimmage. So it's really hard to pinpoint exactly why things have started slowly, because it's impossible to say, unless you're McCarthy or Rodgers, how much is changing from the time that they're in the huddle to the time that the play is actually ran.
Michael, talk to us about Jimmy Graham and whether or not that is a situation where it's a scheme thing, it's a play calling thing, it's an underachieving for Jimmy Graham, it's a defensive thing where they're kind of focused on, with the injuries to the receiving core, maybe the defenses have been a little more focused on Jimmy Graham. Is it the drops? What's going on with Jimmy Graham?
Well, I think it's a couple of things. I think, first of all, he's not the same player that the Packers thought they were signing when it comes to athleticism and explosiveness and all that stuff. It's clear at this point that he can't run the way that he used to, and he does not appear to have the explosive leaping ability that he once did earlier in his career. So I think that is certainly part of it. I think defenses are absolutely focusing on him. He's getting chipped and bumped off the line of scrimmage on a regular basis by defensive ends, linebackers, whoever. Kind of the same plan that you saw anybody who watched the Chiefs and Patriots last night. You know, how many times did Travis Kelce get bumped off the line of scrimmage by Trey Flowers or Dante Hightower or whoever was, you know, up near the line, just to reroute him, disrupt the timing, and make sure that Patrick Mahomes had to look in other places because Kelce couldn't get to his landmark in the time that he's supposed to get there. And I think that's partially what we're seeing with Jimmy Graham. But I also think that there's just been some missed throws too by Rodgers. I mean, the play on the fade pass against Detroit in the front left corner of the end zone, not only was it a clumsy looking jump by Graham, but it was also a very poor throw by Rodgers. there was a bootleg crossing pattern that Jimmy Graham was wide open. I mean, completely uncovered. The Lions turned him loose on the first possession last week, and Rodgers threw it way too high and over his head. If Graham catches that, he probably picks up maybe 10 yards or so on the initial catch and then rumbles for another 12 or 15. So there have definitely been a myriad number of factors playing into Graham's sort of lackluster production right now. But I think the overarching biggest theme is that his explosiveness is probably not quite what the Packers were hoping for.
Despite all the signs that should tell you otherwise, I do think the Packers have a pretty good night tonight. I think they cover the 9-10 point spread that's been put out there. How do you see this one going down tonight, Michael?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Packers should win this game fairly comfortably. I think it's a chance for their offense to put up 30 points or so, and I think that defensively it's another game where against a young quarterback, you know, Beathard being young in the league and also a backup, Mike Pettine's defense confuses those types of players, young players, inexperienced players, players who haven't seen a lot of shifting in coverage and disguise and all those types of things. So I think this is, again, potentially going to be similar to the Buffalo game, not in a shutout and not with Josh Allen looking as terrible as he did, or Beathard looking as terrible as Josh Allen, I should say. But I do think this could be a comfortable win for the Packers. I would pick them something like 30-17.
Find his work at The Athletic, Michael_Cohen13. We'll talk later in the week, Michael. Thanks as always.
All right. See you guys.
Michael Cohen joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935. We'll get more on the Niners coming up around 9:20 as well to know what to expect out of them tonight. That is after Adam McKelvey, who will join us at 9. It's Chuck and Winkler. We are served up by Perkins. Tim Allen in for Freems here on the Fan.
Now it's gone. He swings and launches. That's his way back.
Milwaukee stays alive in the playoffs.
Those of us who are fans of all the teams in the state, it's been fun.
And there are more big-time games to cover.
I say the fans bring the energy. You know, it definitely rubs off on us. And try to go out on the field and get it done.
So big, we've even renamed our coverage. This is a Major League Monday on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That's Tim Allen, who's been with us all morning from the postgame show. His cohort, Bill Baby Tausch Schmidt.
Your two favorite guys in the room here.
Now, shut up.
Tim was on the air. I couldn't stand it. I had to come in here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you're texting. You thought he was tired? You thought he sounded tired?
Sounded very tired at about 7:10 this morning.
Are you not giving me your all here?
No, I am.
Is that why Billy's here?
No, it's definitely all that he's got. But at 7:15, I heard him say something about, I think you got to go back to him.
Well, at 70, when you get to 75 years old, man, come on.
Right, yeah, it's tough to rebound like that.
Yeah.
See, it takes not one but two guys to fill in for Chuck Freeman when he's on his way to Los Angeles.
That's right, he's traveling.
How cool is that, by the way, too?
It's his first time ever there.
Chuck Freeman with all the pretty people, where he belongs.
That's right, he is a great-looking dude.
He is a Hollywood dude. That hairstyle,
yep.
I'm telling you.
The clothes he wears.
Do you think LA will let him come back?
He might not want to.
They're going
to
want him back.
Like, yeah. LA won't let him leave.
Yeah, they're going to want him back. He'll have women just falling all over him.
You get when one I talent see, scout that sees him, it's over.
When I see Chuck Freeman, I think sitcom on a network broadcast, hands down.
Like CBS.
Yes.
Like, he can play the dumb dad, and then...
No,
or
like
the creepy uncle.
Like the cool uncle.
Oh. Yeah.
Come on, let's face it. He is the coolest guy.
I picture him more of like... the lead on one of those crime shows.
He's the coolest guy since Rami Makhlouf.
I see him as Joey in Full House, like the guy that you don't really know why he's a part of the show, but every time you watch the show, you're like, I like that guy on here.
Yeah.
That guy's funny. Okay, cool.
What about like CSI Greendale?
Wait, you should have seen this. Crime scene is splattered everywhere. I've seen a few of these since 85, but... person walking home and chalk in the middle of the street.
I don't like that drop.
Why?
I don't. It's just comfortable.
It's kind of you weren't there because you weren't there when it started.
No, I don't. It's out of context for me. I
it's
agree.
A laugh. It's a laugh drop.
Well, I know, but
do you like Clemens?
That one I like.
Any chance I get to hear Mike Clemens, I like.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, we've been talking throughout the morning, Billy, about obviously the Brewers and the decisions over the weekend. And I think we've gotten to a point where, look, even in this job, it's hard. We are here to talk about the decisions that they may or may not make. But I'm at the point where it's like, if Craig Counsell does it, these guys, they don't just make decisions on a whim as much. And sometimes in baseball, you still do. But there's research behind everything that David Stearns does and everything that Craig Counsell does. So when he takes out Wade Miley after sitting down 16 guys in a row, I mean, it worked. Corbin Burns got the out, but then it was the next inning Burns struggled. And then they brought in Jeffers. So you can argue about that. But I don't know if you mess with what got you here. And I know there are a lot of people that were upset about that on Saturday, saying, well, if Wade Miley pitches the seventh, Brewers are up 2-0 right now.
I think a lot of it, too, is knowing that you needed innings, right? And then you have one of your starters pitching an absolute gem. What is it, two days before Saturday's game, Tim, Craig Counsell makes the Randy Johnson quote?
Yeah.
I'd love to have Randy Johnson just throw him out there 7-8 innings and not have to worry about it.
Third time through, they see numbers that they are afraid
of. Yes, they do.
They do.
But you also have to see, right, the feel of it.
You do. Wade
Miley was cruising. Wade Miley has had two big outings against the Dodgers this year, one of which he goes 7 shutout innings in L.A., I believe, or gave up 1 run out in L.A. The guy was feeling it. That cutter was just biting in on the hands.
But the big question, do you go back to J.J. tonight, 1-run game, 8th inning?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, he was your all-star. There's a reason why he's there. There's a reason why he's been your guy all year long. I think you have to. Because if you don't, then Christian Yelich with, what, 1 base hit in the series?
Then you wouldn't start him.
If he goes 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, then you have to start thinking about what's Christian Yelich going to do.
Get Granderson in there.
Yep.
Come on now.
If you're going to ride your horses, you got to ride your horses.
Well, if they go to, what's your hypothetical tonight, Tim?
1-run lead for the Crew, 8th inning.
And who have we gotten to already?
Bottom of the 8th inning.
Did we take out Chacin? We put in Hader?
We definitely did. We've gone through Hader, and we might have even gone through Soria.
Because I would go Knebel at this point. I wanted to see Knebel in on Saturday.
Okay, well then who shuts down the 9th?
2-inning Knebel, maybe.
Okay.
Mm, no, I don't want to see him have to go back out there again. Because then you're also probably running him done for tomorrow. He's still going to be possibly labored on Wednesday when you're going to need him.
And better yet, you might see Knebel in that 8th inning scenario, and then Jeffress in a 1-run game in the 9th.
And I hate to say it, guys, tonight feels like a must win.
No, I agree. I mean, game 3 is usually the pivot game. I mean, that
because they've decided to go to the stupid 2-3-2 format.
Which what I was saying. It's stupid.
Well, flip the script and win tonight, and then everything's good.
For sure. But you get 3 consecutive days on the road. 3 consecutive days on the road. I don't like it. But when you have to, you're going to have to use Hader probably 2 tonight, depending on however Chacin is able to throw. There is an offensive outburst out of one of these two teams, too, guys.
Soon.
I know you've seen an average of 4 runs against the Brewers' bullpen in the first 2 games, but one of these teams is going to bust out early.
Well, here's something that'll make you feel good. The first time the Brewers played the Dodgers this series, it was a 3-game set at Miller Park. Dodgers won 6-4, then Brewers won 4-2, and the next game was 11-2 Dodgers. In their next series, it was at Dodger Stadium. Brewers won the first 2, 5-2, 1-0. Dodgers won 6-4, and then they wrapped up that series 21-5.
Yeah.
We've seen when the Brewers and the Dodgers have played so far, Kratz and Perez have pitched in both of those series.
Yes.
Does that happen again at some point?
Chacin pitched in the game 4, and that was his worst outing. 21-5.
Chacin was in that game. It was a Thursday. Chacin went 4 1/3.
9 runs.
8 earnings. 8,
sorry.
8 earned runs.
Might as well.
And 105 pitches, which is absurd.
And luckily enough, there will be no Matt Albers to have to fall on the sword in that 21-5 game like there would be tonight.
And there is some good news in tonight's lineup. Yasmani Grandal will start.
How about that?
Behind the dish for the Dodgers.
Yes, thanks, man. That guy.
He was a mess the other day. That was awesome.
Really? I thought it was awesome. He played really, really well.
He's a Brewer killer, typically.
No, he did well for the Crew.
799-1250. Let's go to Dan in Germantown. You guys can chime in. all the way up until 9 o'clock. We'll talk to Adam McKelvey from L.A. at 9 a.m. Dan's in Germantown. Oh, hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, how are you?
Fellas, Jeffers is great. He got us there. He has 1.29 ERA, but that's not the same guy that's pitched four of the last five times. How can you put him out there in a one-run game? He struggled badly four out of five times.
If you don't make an effort right now, while you have just the quick time to do it, if you don't make an effort to get him back to where he was, it's going to be tough to win this series.
If you put him in, it's going to be tough to win the series.
It might be. It might be.
He doesn't have 10 games to work it out, Tim. We have three or four games left.
I won't disagree with that part of it. But look, if you're going to use the same philosophy, then Corey Knebel would be still, you know, sitting on a couch somewhere now.
But we're talking about the last five games. Now we're not talking about the 20 games or in the middle of the season. You have four or five games left.
No,
he has badly struggled four out of five times.
I get it, but just conceptually speaking, philosophically speaking,
he's pitched in every game of these playoffs so far. Jeremy has. He does not need to go tonight.
And he may not.
At what point? See, against Colorado, Council put him back in. So he gives up the two earned runs in game one. He comes in as a nice two innings in game two. It worked. You had him struggle. You let him rebound, and it worked. That's what you tried to do again in this Dodgers series. It didn't work. So now you have to think, do you put him back out there again, or would one game where he doesn't pitch actually do better for him throughout the series than throwing him out there in the fire again? When Jeremy Jeffress, there's a side story with him going on right now, too, in that he was calling the Dodgers hits lucky, which a lot of them have been, weekly hit balls, but then there was the Turner home run, so now he had to come out and tweet to clarify that he didn't mean the Turner home run was lucky, and there's this whole other side thing. I think a night off may benefit him in this case.
But when you're a competitor and you've had some comments get taken out of text, and people are making a big deal about what you said, maybe the opponent does think you were trashing them a little bit. Maybe in that Dodger clubhouse, they have all of those comments printed out in everybody's locker, and they said, 32 comes in the game, we're going to tattoo them. Jeremy Jeffress thrives in that situation.
Just one more time, though. I'm not saying
intensity
the rest of the
is
series.
That guy.
Just one more, because if he does step in tonight in a crucial situation and has success, the series could be over. Now, again, you could say the other way, just like Dan said, and it's a point well taken.
For
that
sure.
If he does spit it up again, then the series could be over the other way. I don't know. I like being the aggressor.
Let's go to Santo on the west side, 799-1250. What's up, Santo?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nothing like good baseball talk in October. Love it. Anyways, real quickly, I think we have to – I was at the game Saturday, and our whole section, when Jeffers got, you know, he up that home run to the leprechaun, we were like,
hey, okay, I looked a lot like Justin Turner before I trimmed my beard down.
Justin Turner is a gnome leprechaun. That's what he is.
Okay, but I look like him, so I'm taking offense to this.
Well, you look like the leprechaun in the Lucky Charms box.
Lucky Charms.
But I had a Justin Turner beard going for a while.
Don't disrespect what that man had on his face. Yours was not even close.
I was trying to get there.
Yours was like a 16-year-old's version of the Justin Turner beard.
Right.
And unfortunately, the leprechaun is clutch. I can't make fun of his baseball play. I can't make fun of his face. But so he hit the home run, and then Jeffers got out of that inning. And everyone in our section, we're all talking because it's the playoffs. So you know, you're talking. And everyone's like, that is a confidence booster that he got out after that double play, you know, getting that double play.
Yeah.
Now let's bring in someone fresh for the eighth inning. And he came out in the eighth inning, and our whole section was like, this is not going to go, you know. I'm talking about when he got out of the previous inning. I'm sorry. And the second thing, when he got out of it, no one wants. All such is like, don't bring him out there. Don't bring him out there for the eighth, because he finished successfully that inning. Mentally, he's probably right again. And he brought him out for the eighth, gave him a home run, and the whole section was like, we just knew it. It was weird. But you still have to give him a shot, because if we're going to win this series, we need Jeffers to be right. And if you don't give him a shot tonight, he's a very emotional guy, and you might totally take him out of the rest of the series if you don't use him again tonight in a similar situation. Council knows what he's doing. He's the manager of the year. He's turned an 85-win team into a possible World Series champion, in my estimation. And so I'm not going to doubt what Council does, but you definitely have to give this guy just one more shot, one more chance to prove that he is the pitcher that he is. or else you might just lose him the whole series.
I'm fine with giving him that shot, but I would give it to him in game four.
But you might need him for that
shot.
He
has pitched
tonight.
In every game already.
Depending on the situation, you might need him with that shot. He's 73. He seems really durable. 73 appearances this year, plus the playoffs, as you said. If you look at the eighth inning, Taylor hits a duffer like Billy's six iron for about 35 feet for a base hit. And then the next guy just guesses. There's no question he was looking for that pitch, and sometimes that does occur. I don't think it was necessarily the fault of Jeremy Jeffress. It was a convoluted stack of decisions there,
and that's
it was
that's
a guess.
That's a hell of a hitter over there. Justin Turner is a hell of a hitter.
Awesome.
You and I were on the phone when that was happening, and you and I both go, oh, they're bringing him back out there. Okay.
Yeah,
okay. I get it. He didn't hit. His spot was due up.
I wouldn't
hit.
Have done it, but I understand it.
Guys, before we get to Adam McKelvey, I got to introduce you to a woman who's become our sister Jean here on Chuck and Winkler of this Brewers playoff run. Her name is Susan. She lives in St. Petersburg.
Okay.
She has
Susan.
She's been a Brewer fan her whole life.
Nice.
She lives with her daughter.
Does she listen to the postgame show?
I don't know. Susan, do you listen to the postgame show?
Yes, I do. Good morning, gentlemen. So nice to talk to you, Tim.
Yeah, thank you, Susan.
Yes, hi.
All right, Susan, we lost game two. How we feel about tonight?
I feel good. You know that if we're not in danger, you know, we're doing well. I don't think we need to get really concerned and real worried here. The seven-game series, just, you know, we'll let it play out. I trust Craig Counsell, his decisions. Yes, go Crew.
You know what's made me feel a little bit better, Susan, is the fact that we know, and it doesn't mean it hurts any less, but we sort of knew the Dodgers were going to win a game or two here, and we have to really focus on that a little bit, that wasn't probably, the Dodgers are, as Billy said, a very good team. They probably weren't going to sweep this series.
No, they aren't going to sweep. You know, and of course they're a good team. That's why they're there. But hey, we're just as good as they are. We earned our spot. We earned where we are, and we can do this. Yes.
All right. I need your help here because we had a caller earlier. He said he's 43. The last time the Brewers were this far, or at least in the World Series, he was 7, and said he's worrying because he has chest pains in watching this team. How Susan? Would you tell him to manage those experiences? How do you stay calm and positive when it looks like everything's falling down, like maybe it did on Saturday?
Oh, my God. You don't see me when I'm sitting there in front of that TV. I have no nails. I'm on the floor. I'm just palpitating and hyperventilating.
Because you sound so calm now, I figured
help
that
this
was
woman.
Your demeanor.
Oh, well, when I'm in front of that TV, but I got to kind of watch it because when I start screaming and yelling, it's like, what's going on in there? What's happening? You know, and it's like, I got to kind of keep it down a little bit, but my insides are churning. But you know what? It's a long series. They're the professionals. They know what they're doing. I trust them.
And it's fun, man. This is a ton of fun.
I've waited 36 years for this, and this is just nothing but the best. I'm so excited.
Susan, we want to talk to you tomorrow again.
I like her.
Yeah, you want me to call tomorrow? I'll call tomorrow.
Yeah, call tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what we want.
And we'll talk to you.
Oh, yes, and it was so good talking to Tim and Billy. I love you guys.
You can call their show tonight, too.
Yes.
I do.
All right,
Susan.
I listen to you. After the game, I do. I turn you in because I don't know. You just keep me connected to my city and my team. That's all I can say. I love you guys.
Thank we love you, too, Susan. We'll be in touch.
That's awesome.
Susan,
now,
down in St. Petersburg.
I will say that a staff member did mention to me over the weekend during game two that he, and I won't name names, that he was so nervous that he was going to throw up and that his bowels were loosening. And he was serious. Barty was dead serious.
What's wrong with that?
Please.
Come on, man.
I mean, I get being nervous, and I'm nervous, too, but come on.
This guy has gone through 3 cartons of cigarettes during this playoff run.
You want to throw up and hit the bathroom, or you want to smoke cigarettes?
We'll talk to Adam McKelvey off of the loose
smoking
bowl.
Smoking sounds way more fun.
To Adam McKelvey. He joins us next. Tim and Billy. Tim will be with us. Billy, back on the On Deck show.
Yeah, and Adam McKelvey will not be smoking cigarettes during that.
No, and you'll be on the post-game show, too. It's Chuck and Winkler. Tim in for Frames on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.